And now it's time for Playing Favorites with Shane Lennon.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Playing Favorites with Shane Lennon. I am Shane Lennon, and today I am joined by Mark Mitchell and Patrick Ellers of the Nintendo Cartridge Society again to do yet another Star Wars movie, the next one in order, The Empire Strikes Back. We have done the first Star Wars, not called A New Hope, as we've previously discussed.
The 1977 original.
Right, exactly. We're doing the...
Just Google Star Wars and it'll come up.
We did the real Star Wars.
It'll be the first thing that pops up when you Google Star Wars.
Yes. Don't look into the news or anything.
No.
So today we're going to keep going with that trend, and we're going to do Empire Strikes Back. And how do you guys feel about Empire Strikes Back? I think this is a movie that people, like cool Star Wars fans, like to say is their favorite Star Wars film.
Well, hold on. What do not cool Star Wars fans say is their favorite?
I don't know. I love Jedi a lot.
I love Jedi a lot too, but like it gets messy sort of near the end.
Sure. Ewoks and...
I'm fine with Ewoks. I grew up with Ewoks. I was born in 82. That movie came out in 83. Yeah, okay. So... yeah, I'm okay on Ewoks.
Yeah, right? But we're not here to talk about Ewoks. I love Ewoks as well.
I'm fine with them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, can we just talk more about Ewoks?
Oh, I wish there was Ewoks in this one.
I don't know. I guess I would say Empire is my favorite. But to answer the question of like what non-cool Star Wars people say, I think they say Star Wars, aka New Hope. I think it's like Ocarina of Time to Majora's Mask.
Sure. Majora's Mask may be a better game. It may be a more interesting, innovative, and like dark, creepy game, but you got to give it up to the OG Ocarina.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I get that.
So you say it is your favorite one, Mark?
Yeah, sure. You know, like if I had to choose, I would definitely say Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
Yeah. In the weird scenario where we are forced to choose which our favorite. When we are Force Awakened to choose which is our favorite Star Wars movie, I would also say this, but I kind of buck the whole idea of favorites.
Okay.
In general, I don't have a favorite
color.
Well,
you're playing favorites, so I'm sorry.
I buck half of this show. I will play, but not favorites, sir.
Well, there's two of you, so that's all I can ask. I think this is the one, as a child, I would watch it, but not as much as the other two of the main three.
Do you have a sense of why that is? Like, you or
no? I think it because I, as a kid, and even now, but I wish I could say I felt differently because I wish I. Well, we'll get into it in a second. I didn't watch it today because fucking Star Wars, the biggest franchise in movie history, you can't rent it anywhere online.
That's right.
You have to pay the full $15 on across the board on every site. So I'm protesting it and Disney, and I feel like, no, I'm not going to do that. And maybe I should have, but...
do you want to borrow my Blu-rays? Yes, I have Blu-rays.
I really probably should have. But anyway, as a kid, I always felt like that movie drags too much for me, as a child. Now, this is not me as an adult viewing it through adult lens, but like... I feel like they're on Hoth forever. I feel like he's on Dagobah forever training. And I don't know. I wish I didn't feel that way. I know it's, that's just as a kid. I was just like, I want to see Luke fight was my big thing.
And it does withhold that from you for like the whole movie, right?
Pretty much.
I don't know if the lightsaber duel at the end of Empire really ends up being the payoff that you want it to be.
Not really, no.
Right? Like, you gotta wait until because the lightsaber duel in Jedi is fucking awesome, right?
Right.
Like, it's so cool. My mind, that's like the quintessential original trilogy lightsaber duel.
Yeah.
And so, like, the duel on Bespin, you're like, all right, it's neat.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
No. It gets the job done. It checks that box, but I don't know if like it gets me innately super hyped.
Right. I'm trying to remember. Is the iconic shot of Luke and Vader dueling? Is there one where it's like they're all in black and you just see the sabers and you kind of see
Jedi.
The silhouette? Oh, that's Jedi. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and also the scoring, I think, is more aggressive during the duel in Jedi and not on Bespin in Empire. Like there's a lot of just silence in the music, and like you hear a lot of the
sounds of like
the sounds
station.
Of the city, yeah. Which is city. Is like a cool, interesting choice, but it's also, you know, inherently like less dramatic,
right?
And like I want a little bit of that bombast, so yeah. I get it.
So as a kid, this had some of my favorite moments. Like I loved everything with Yoda. Mm-hmm. I loved the Wampa.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Wampa's great.
Even though you just see a tiny bit of them in the original, not special editions.
Right.
But it also had the moments that like stressed me out the most
as a kid. That's part of it. That's like, part of why I remember. It's not my
favorite. Okay, so there's a moment when they're on Cloud City and like they've found out that Vader is there, and so like Chewbacca is in like a room that's like lit through a grate, and there's like an alarm going off, and he's like screaming. Yeah. And I like that still like gives me anxiety thinking about it.
And Luke and goes C-3PO's down in pieces.
C-3PO's in pieces, and like Luke goes down into the. So it was like the scariest and most stressful one as a kid as well.
Yeah, I think it's also got some of the stuff that is more. Like that I need to be older or needed to have been older to appreciate like any of the I'm more or less into like shipping and, you know, romances and stuff now.
Uh-huh.
But like as a kid, I don't think I really cared about like Han and Leia.
Yeah.
And like watching their like flirtation play out and be like super aggressive towards each other at first and then like, you know, giving into I love you, I know.
Yeah.
Like that's something that as a kid. Like, can you imagine? It's so weird to me that we saw I Love You, I Know before we knew how cool that was, right?
Right.
Like, it was something.
And mean.
Yeah.
Truly mean.
Yeah. Super mean. That, like, if seeing that as an adult for the first time would have been so cool.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about, like, the big twist at the end of the movie, the Luke, you know, that no, Luke, I am your father.
Right.
That's something that I feel like I've always known.
Yeah.
Having watched this movie. Mm-hmm. So like we never got the full force of, you know, that twist.
Right.
It's just always been.
Yeah. I was thinking about that as well, because like I don't have any memory of the first time I watched Star Wars or the first time I watched Empire Strikes Back. Like it's always, as far as I can remember, just always like been there.
Right.
And
like Christ.
Exactly.
In all
like
of our lives.
Yes. Right. Exactly like Christ. And so, yeah, the like big reveal, I don't remember it having, it wasn't, I don't remember being shocked by it or anything.
Sure.
It was just like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I have
it's
no.
It's just there.
Yeah, it's just always like, it's always been there.
And is that the biggest twist or biggest shock in the whole series?
Yeah, definitely, right? I mean, what else would talk?
I mean, I think that's it, right?
Well, and one of like the cool things about that is that it's not like it was like seeded as a mystery early that was going to like pay off later.
Right.
It was just something they decided.
It's like a mind fuck that they just want to like throw it in there.
Yeah, they decided when they were making Empire. They had no idea when they were making Star Wars.
Well,
that was like
I just
the plan.
Heard,
there was no plan.
Right. Mark Hamill didn't even know it was happening. Only Lucas and one other guy, I think probably the writer. Right, because
Lawrence Kasdan.
Well, no, Hamill, someone else.
Hamill knows too.
No, but he told them after they shot it as Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan killed your father.
Or yes,
sure, because they could all do it all the Vader
exactly.
stuff in the
Isn't
dub.
Isn't that genius?
Because
they do whatever you
they
want.
They had to. Not just they could. They had to.
And then he told after they shot it a bunch. George Lucas like called him over and said like, hey, actually this is what happens, and he had to be silent about it. Like no one on set knew, so like
right,
like the premiere is when everyone found out, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's dope. And a secret that you wouldn't be able to keep now.
No, not at all.
Because, you know, people are sneaking into the Game of Thrones set and they got to build a wall around it.
They got drones
exactly.
everywhere.
They have to film fake shit. Like, storylines.
What a waste of money.
It's insane. That's absolutely insane.
God, fans are the worst.
Fans are the worst.
What
fans
are we
the worst.
Doing?
Fans ruin everything. it's like the empowerment of nerds has started as a kind of a great thing and then just dive bombed into horrible.
This is a complete tangent.
Horrible things.
But have you guys seen the trailer for Ready Player One?
Yes.
Okay. To me, it's like, I think it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
I think it looks like
100%.
Fan service wanking. And because there's nothing other than nostalgia. It's just purely unexamined nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, there's no it feels like it's just like
it has nothing to say.
It's just
it feels like it has nothing
to
say.
No, there's no veil in front of it or anything. It's just like it's just nostalgia. Remember this?
Well, and that's my problem with like Stranger Things as well.
Same. Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
I feel
it's
the exact
just
same.
Where it's just like they're wearing Ghostbuster costumes like a poster for John Carpenter's The Thing on the wall.
And
when just like, hey, isn't that a thing you remember?
Yeah, right. And when the series starts with them playing D&D, it's like, that's fucking E.T. You're just making E.T. again.
They made E.T.
And I fucking seen E.T.
They made E.T. and It and combined them.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's Nerds 1. The biggest
Nerds
franchises in the world are comic books, Star Wars, you know, like, and so what
End
are you so
list.
Angry about? This is what you wanted.
Right, but they're assholes. And it's horrible. I'm glad you, by the way, it makes me very happy to hear you guys feel the same way I do about Stranger Things.
I know that's not popular.
Not a popular opinion.
No, it is not.
I mean, I've seen both series, both seasons. I don't hate it. Like, I enjoy
it's like
watching
it's
it.
It's like, yeah.
But it bugs me that's like all it is.
Right. I agree 100%.
I guess like if they really wanted to do like a real homage to those types of stories, they would make it contemporary and make it for the people who are going to grow up on it now.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, hey, you're
30.
Let's
set it in the 80s.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Or if it is somehow, and I've had people argue to me that Stranger Things is what I'm about to describe, so I might be wrong, but that it has something to say about those kinds of movies and TV shows.
No, definitely don't
agree
with
that.
I don't agree with that at all. It's just saying them.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But like if there is something out there that wants to reflect back on itself and have like a meta message about like art and how we take things in and why we value what we value, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I wish that's what something like Ready Player One would be or Stranger Things would be.
And there's a difference. Like, what's the movie? I can't think. I just lost the name. What's the J.J. Abrams movie with the monster?
Super 8.
Super 8. Okay. That's stylistically nostalgic to like Steven Spielberg films.
Yeah.
But it's not saying... It's not in the background Steven Spielberg films are playing or they're wearing like t-shirts or it's like, no, it's just like, remember this kind of movie? This is fun. And it's like more of an homage rather than straight up just saying,
I mean,
this shit was cool.
Super 8 is, I
you
think, a
like
bad
Super
movie.
8. Oh,
movie
I like it a lot.
In its own way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But like J.J. Abrams, I think Patrick, you were saying when we were talking about Star Wars in general is that he's like a pastiche artist.
Right.
Right. And I think
100%
that he's so good at that, and that's what makes his movies enjoyable. Back to the
Empire Strikes Back.
This has my favorite version of Yoda.
This is my favorite.
He's a little more like Wily.
Oh, he's so
like
funny.
Goofy.
Like when he's like going through Luke's backpack
pulls out. Give me those. Give me his little feet. Give me his little feet. Oh, I want to touch his little feet. Oh, they're so cute. Like, give me them feet.
Like when he takes the flashlight out and he's like looking at it, and then R2 tries to take it away from him.
Yeah.
He's like hitting R2 with
his
stick.
Funny.
It's so funny.
He's
so good.
He almost has googly eyes almost.
He's a goddamn Muppet.
He's a Muppet.
He's a fucking
love
it.
In the fucking prequels, he's like, he's just
a
toned
nightmare.
Down.
Yeah.
And,
well, even the puppet they chose, they're like, let's de-age him. Like, he's like 600 years younger instead of what? Yeah. Like 30 years younger?
Well, okay. So Yoda, 900 years old when he dies, right? And the prequels take place maybe 30
years?
35 years.
Yeah.
So, like, the difference for
oh,
Yoda
yeah, you're right.
between 865 and 900 is huge.
Yeah.
Which it leads me to believe that like young Yoda was probably 30 feet tall and ripped.
Well, okay, and then
the
difference between Phantom Menace Yoda, which is and Revenge of the Jedi Yoda, which is again what, maybe or even
hold
Attack
on,
of
hold
Clones.
On. Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Which is, again, maybe what, like 15, 20 years?
Yeah, so...
They change him to CG Yoda, who looks like Empire Strikes Back Yoda. So really, it's the different... It's like a 15-year change.
It's crazy.
Yes,
that's
so
crazy.
The change that we see in Anakin Skywalker as he goes from Jake Lloyd to Hayden Christensen, that's the same change that we see in Yoda at the end of his life.
Right.
That's what it is.
And then, pretty much... Yes. Oh, yes. That's exactly what you're
saying.
And
then stays the same.
Yes. I was, you know, I did research. I refreshed myself today. And then is it true that like the I'm trying to figure out the time period between the first Star Wars to Jedi. So
3 years.
It's 3 years.
Oh well, 3 years in the real world, and I think the like in story universe is also. Or,
oh,
like,
I
it's
actually
also
have no idea
because years. I thought I read that between Empire and Jedi, it's 3 years. Is that
yeah.
it?
I think. I mean, that's.
Does that mean Han is right. Han gets frozen for 3 years?
We'll
yeah.
get
the
there.
Fuck are
we'll
they
get,
doing?
We'll
I know
get,
we'll get there.
There.
But come
we will
on,
get
that's
there.
Insane.
This time next year.
That's insane. How long does it take them to? I guess
a long
Luke
time.
Has to buy all his dark clothing.
And he's got to buy his dark clothing. He has to forge his own lightsaber.
Yeah.
And Leia and Chewie have to infiltrate Prince Zizor's palace. I assume we're going to get into
Prince Zizor.
Oh yes.
Into Legends.
No, yeah, to the specifically the legend Shadows of the Empire.
Oh right.
Did y'all fuck with Shadows of the Empire?
Is that the they also had
yeah,
a game?
Yeah, that's the N64 game.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't just an N64
oh,
game.
Oh right, it was
Shadows
a
of the Empire
as well.
was a whole like multimedia experience that came out in like the mid 90s. And yeah, I'm saying multimedia experience. I hear you chuckling over there. But it was a book, it was the video game, there were comics, there were action, there were fucking action figures.
Right.
And
what's the main guy's name? Dax?
Dax Rendar.
Dax Rendar.
And he's in the Battle of Hoth. I assume we are going to insert him.
I think we talked about this last time. By the way, I just remember like, oh, Dax Rendar. I remember someone recently. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was us.
I mean, we do a Nintendo podcast, so right. We're bound to bring up the Nintendo 64 game.
Yes.
But and there was a soundtrack to the to Shadows of the Empire as well. So like,
great soundtrack.
It was. Was it? Was it?
Or wait, are you talking about the video game?
Yeah, I don't. It was like its own.
There's definitely music, like intense right. music. I remember.
The point is. I don't really care about Shadows.
Yeah, I don't care either. It's okay. A lot of bounty hunters, I remember in that.
Yeah.
But what was the point we were trying to make? Oh, 3 years.
3 years.
And
this
isn't even about Empire. No. Oh, see? Okay. Okay.
Hold on. I want to stay on bounty hunters for a second because we don't really know bounty hunters in Star Wars before Empire.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot of stuff about Star Wars in general. It all gets, like, so much of it gets established in Empire and they've fussed with it over the years this is the first time we see the Emperor mentioned briefly in Star Wars but in kind of like a passing sort of thing. It's the first time we see him. We get a glimpse of Vader without his helmet on. Mm-hmm.
Also see like Vader in a position of command because in the first movie he's just like a bodyguard or like a thug or something, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like the Emperor's like representative on the Death Star, but he's not in control. Although Rogue One kind of like retcons that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like Vader's always kind of a rogue agent, even when you like zoom way out into like the comics and everything too. But like, I mean, Leia even teases him, right? Being like, Tarkin holding your leash, and like, that's not the role that he's in
Empire. Yeah, I mean, he's killing. You know, admirals and generals or whatever, right and left.
Oh, yeah.
Just for fucking up, you know.
I'm going to go on record here. I think that's poor management technique. I think it's bad.
It got the job done.
Did it? Did it? Because they lost.
Yeah, but not because he was not killing managers.
Oh, you don't know that. It's brain drain, man. He's got no managerial. Everyone's getting promoted into death.
Yeah. That's not good upward mobility. I mean, look, how do you become better than Darth Vader?
Look,
you're just going to be below him
in
forever.
In Empire, they win.
Yes, they do.
The Empire
qualified win
back.
Sure,
you know, like Han's going to Jabba's place.
Yeah,
palace. But yes,
for 3 years.
Is there another A in there?
Yeah, palace. Welcome to Jabba's place. Yeah, PBRs are $3 on Thursday.
That's the bar he opened with his friends.
Yeah, they do bringer shows there.
But the we've all played this venue. The Empire's victories in The Empire Strikes Back are kind of small. Like Darth Vader chops off Luke Skywalker's hand. Great, but he gets away. Han Solo, the general of the rebellion, is captured, but then given to a gangster. And like,
they find Hoth though.
Yeah,
they
the do rebellion's Hoth, like yeah. scattered. It's
the rebellion scattered. I mean, prior to that, the movie started, and they find Yavin, so that's like
Sure.
Their base
yeah,
is gone.
Yeah, like, all of their plans are foiled. Like, yes, at the end, all of our heroes are alive, right. but barely.
I mean, do they get their only, like, real wins just because, like, Boba Fett finds them? Is that kind of it?
The Empire, you mean?
Yeah,
I think that's probably right. If Boba Fett wasn't, for some reason, drifting around in the garbage after the... Because
he's a smart bounty hunter.
He's a smart right. bounty hunter,
he
right.
He knows how bounties think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, without Boba Fett, I think
but who
the
hired Boba
w.
Fett?
Good
Darth,
point. Good
Darth
point.
Darth Vader.
What a manager.
Yeah, what?
Look at hire.
So his one success as a manager is to outsource the job to someone else?
Who cares how the job gets done as
oh,
long as it gets
Mark,
done?
Come on.
I mean, does he have those guys like on retainer or something? Because they're there very quickly.
He seems
quickly.
To, yeah.
It's like that the lizard guy.
Bosk,
yes. The moth looking bug guy with like a gun. He kind of just like...
Oh,
I don't even know.
Yeah.
There's a robot.
IG-88.
Who is a boss yes. in Shadows of the Empire.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the diaper-headed guy.
Oh, the diaper-headed guy.
Who I believe his name is Dengar, but I might be wrong.
Dengar!
sounds...
Are you announcing him as a cast member on SNL?
Dengar!
Musical guest, IG-88!
Your host, Lizard Hunter... Bosk, sorry.
Bosk, please. 2 Ks.
Not like Amazon. Amazon? No, is it Stars? Bosch? What's that show on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
well,
that's
there
Bosch.
Goes that joke.
we'll bring it back later.
What do you guys think of... I was thinking about this today. Is the title good? Is it, like, fun? Is it cheeky? Is it too much like Empire... Or, sorry, Umpire Strikes?
I don't know. I've never thought about it before because it's always existed.
Right,
right,
exactly.
It's not like now when they announce new titles... When, you know, like
yeah.
Attack of the
Clones. Attack of the
Clones
is the first one I thought of.
Or the Phantom Menace where, you know, we're like, is that good or not? I don't know. I was, you know,
yeah.
like, is A New Hope good? No.
No.
But also not the title of that movie until way later.
Right.
I think if we try to put ourselves in like 1979 before the movie comes out, all we know is Star Wars. And we know that the sequel to this movie is called The Empire Strikes Back. That's going to get my fucking blood
yeah,
boiling.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I was
yeah.
so excited.
I think it
and
sounds
like,
cool.
kind of like Flash Gordon-y, like
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
kind of stuff. But it's still a weird, like, think of like of a movie's franchise. Now you have to be very specific, but it's like, if a movie came out now that had like a like Guardians of the Galaxy, The Empire Strikes. No, that makes sense with Guardians of the Galaxy because it's cheeky and all about like the soundtrack.
Right,
I'm trying
right,
to
right.
think of like something of the same ilk, but there's not hard to say.
Okay, so let's do like a DC movie, right? So
Batman Strike or Joker Strikes Back.
Joker Strikes
would
Back
would be like very goofy,
right? And
yeah.
not appropriate. Yeah, yeah. But for some reason, it feels fine.
It works.
Like it feels good
how.
For Star Wars.
Yeah.
yeah. But I don't know if that's just because I've always lived with it.
Right. It sounds funny to think of like a movie people take so seriously. One's called Empire Strikes Back.
like, yeah. And then the Return
we got
of
you.
The Jedi.
Great.
Not
title.
Revenge, because that's too mean.
Wasn't I know we're jumping ahead to Revenge of the or to Return of the Jedi now.
We
but
can't do that.
We can't do it.
We're spoiling all of our stuff for
right,
next
right.
year.
I'll store it.
I have a feeling
I'll
we'll
remember.
Have plenty to say.
oh yeah, I'm sure nerds will have ruined something else.
Yeah.
Fucking nerds.
Fucking ruining Rick and Morty and shit. Come on.
Oh man. So it is so hard for I. Really like Rick and Morty.
Love it.
And as I was watching third season, like is when like, you know, the fans started to be like their shittiest towards the because
right.
that's when they're like, oh, there are women out there in the writer's room.
yeah.
Burn it all down. And then the whole thing with the Szechuan sauce, it was just like, fuck, I can't even like say that I like this.
I know,
show.
I'm scared to honestly talk about it now because these assholes ruined it for everyone.
It's just the people
horrible.
The people that think that like Rick is anything to aspire to or a character that you're not supposed to
no,
loathe.
No, it's just a funny show.
It's
a funny,
funny show.
Fucking show.
And guess what?
Stupid
you don't,
as hell.
You don't have to be smart to get it.
No.
In fact, you should be a little bit dumb.
Yeah.
Fling this planet into the sun. Am I right, guys?
Let's burn it all down, man. I'm done with it.
Fuck you, geeks. I think we said that last time a bunch as well. Whatever. I stand by it.
I mean, I don't know. It's a tough thing to wrestle with because obviously we are huge dorks, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm insufferable.
Yeah. Mark's
But
terrible.
You don't hate women.
Right. Yeah. Not categorically, no. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You don't feel like women or so-and-so, somebody owes anything towards you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a hard group to be a part of.
Right. But then again, it's also mainstreams. It's like, I mean, maybe not Rick and Morty, but like Star Wars. That's like families. It's like, it's a family thing now.
Well,
yeah.
And that's
family
the thing
entity.
Is that it's not like, liking Star Wars is not nerdy.
No.
Right.
Not at all.
No,
liking comic book movies is not nerdy.
No.
Liking video games is not nerdy. These things are mainstream.
As fuck.
Yeah.
What's the nerd thing now, you think? It's like anime still?
I mean, the alt-right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty fucking nerdy.
I know.
Men's rights. Yeah. This is fucking geeks. Yeah.
No, but like as far as like culturally nerdy,
yeah, what
like what art is nerdy?
Yeah. Like I would say still anime is not like made that huge crossover into mainstream American culture.
Yeah.
Although, do you know what has from anime crossed over is Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Dragon Ball is way more popular.
I mean, so, and Pokemon too. I guess.
Yeah. But like a couple of years ago, there was like a limited release of a Dragon Ball Z movie, like Gods and Monsters, I think it might have been called, or like something like that.
Yeah.
And you know they were
Brendan Fraser.
about James Whale, the director of
Gods and Generals, that 6-hour Civil War movie.
That one as well.
Okay.
But with Goku.
It had something with monsters in the title. Anyways, it was like limited, like one of those Fathom releases in a few theaters. Mm-hmm. And I went to see it at the Chinese theater mm-hmm. in Hollywood. And watching this movie was the most, I guess, like to use like an industry, like four quadrant, just like widest swath of people I have ever seen.
Interesting.
And so I don't think anime in general has,
right?
But like certain pockets, like I guess stuff that was on Cartoon Network, you know, like after
sure.
that was like growing up,
early Adult Swim stuff,
like
Ghost
that
Shell,
has
Cowboy
yeah.
Bebop kind
that
of
stuff.
Stuff
has like I think weirdly crossed over into the culture.
I guess somewhat.
Yeah, I think maybe like what is nerdy maybe needs to be a little bit redefined, right?
Because right.
like when we were growing up, a lot of the like nerdy things that we were into, I feel like were the gatekeepers were always men. That
sure.
you know, they're always like a few women around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously that's not the case anymore. But like, I think one of the cooler things about like anime as a like geek culture obsession is that it is more for women. That there are a lot of
right.
A lot of things that appeal to like girls and women
right.
in a way that like superhero comics don't always necessarily.
Well, I mean, maybe the reason why nerds are so angry is that they're really like Dungeons and Dragons. Sorry. That's the one I thought of.
Yeah.
Where that still is very,
that's
still
pretty nerdy. Yeah.
But in general, like even, maybe the reason why nerds are so angry is because there are
nothing that they have as their own,
yeah,
in a way,
yeah.
That's what
so
I was saying, is
they're,
like maybe
they're feeling
no
like attacked where there is
right.
like you know
the
like
internet ruined it.
Girls in the boys club type thing,
right?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you think it's the internet, because the part of it's the internet comes out, so it's just like everyone has access to nerdy things in a way, possibly that's part of it, maybe
yeah,
not fully.
I also think part of it is just that
nerds buy shit.
Large corporations have co-opted
yeah.
everything that we liked as children and
right.
are just continuing to produce it in for like look, I love the new Star Wars movie, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But it's like they have co-opted nerd culture and turned it mainstream.
It's so interesting.
And I think some of that is like a reaction against the fact that the things that used to be all about them
yeah.
is now shared by everybody.
What
and
they
that
found
means,
like well, solace in or
you think they would be excited because they like because
yeah.
that
they
means
won.
That culturally they won.
Yeah.
The thing I want to push back on just for a second is that like Star Wars was huge when it came out.
True.
Like there's we have this idea that like liking Star Wars is nerdy or was nerdy at one point.
Yeah.
But it was always the most popular movie.
I think when it became nerdy was when like the expanded
universe
started,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? Like liking the movies, I don't think has ever been nerdy. But when there was those 10 or so years when there was no movies,
right? There's
and you were just like
comic books,
comics and role
books,
playing games,
yeah.
And, you know, like
yeah.
then if you love Star Wars, you were delving into all of that stuff that the rest of the world, the rest of the culture was saying, oh, that's too much,
right?
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you, but you were enjoying it, and you were like, and that doesn't really exist anymore. There is no, there's no real like segmentation.
I mean, right. there is to the extent, and I think maybe the new what that is fan fiction. That like,
that's what I was gonna say is fan fiction might be a new source of.
Yeah, because like
people nerd out on now.
Yeah, because it's not super nerdy to like read a Star Wars book,
right?
At the moment, but right. like to read someone's Star Wars fanfic
that they, yeah,
yeah.
But then again, like 50 Shades of Grey is technically fanfic, so it's like there yeah. is some
and yeah, so like fanfiction gets like totally commercialized as well. Well, what about Tolkien? How do we think, you know, like being a huge like reading, what is it called? Like the Silmarillion or whatever.
Silmarillion, yeah.
But even then, like Stephen Colbert is a huge Tolkien nerd and he talks about it all the time. And those movies were hugely successful. Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's yeah. And there's that new Amazon series that's going to come out. It's all Lord of the Rings. But I don't know if people, I think what happens, what helps that maybe not be nerdy is because of the movies.
Totally. I completely agree. But again, that's a corporation co-opting nerd culture and making
exactly. But I don't know
Game of Thrones, same thing.
But, yeah, maybe it's just because I'm a huge like Lord of the Rings nerd. I feel like if you like the movies but haven't read the books, you're not truly a fan. Because like the books, I feel like are the enriching part, and the movies are just fun. Same with Harry Potter, honestly.
But like, so I agree with that. But I think that's
but it's still mainstream. I'm sorry. But yeah.
I totally agree with that. Where it's like it's the same sort of Star Wars thing, right? That we were talking about, where like the movies have always been super successful. It's this other stuff that was deemed like that made it like nerdy.
Yeah.
But I think that's the sort of for lack of a better term, like gatekeeping that is going away,
sure.
Where it's like,
yes,
you know, it's like, oh, you're not a real Star Wars fan because you haven't read all of like the Thrawn novels. Then it's like, oh, the Thrawn novels, those are meaningless now. Those are just for fun. Although they've been like some of the Thrawn stuff is back in like
in
Star Wars,
Rebels series,
but like Legends in general, it's right. It's like all this stuff that you were reading, that you were doing, we're now erasing all of that and opening up Star Wars for everyone. And I think some of what we're seeing in is like a reaction to this like breaking down of these artificial barriers that nerds had built up, where it's like you're not a real fan because you can't cite all of these like things that I already know.
You didn't have the discipline to.
So
I mean,
you're
the,
a fake fan.
I made a joke earlier about like what's nerdy, the alt-right, but like it all comes down to the sort of like identity politics of like, I am a Star Wars fan, I am a Tolkien fan,
right?
And then I deserve it, yeah. And you see someone else like come into that space and like challenge it for whatever fucking reason that you're like, you're not a real fan, you just like
you haven't
movies.
Fans
the
are the
right.
worst, just fans are
yeah
terrible.
I know
it's the
true.
Word fandom is horrifying. it's awful. It's like anything you love, people who are like fans of it as a collective group suck, even if it's a great thing.
Here's the one thing I will say about that, that is generally true in terms of like what we see and what like kinds of opinions we see voiced.
Right.
But there, for every like asshole that's mad about there being like a black stormtrooper in Force Awakens, there are, you know, 10,000 people who are fine with it.
Sure,
or
of course.
Who like it.
But
yeah.
It's like the
and don't say
the loudest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like fans are the worst, but also, you know,
no, that's absolutely true.
They're
it's just
fine.
A small minority of fans are the worst, but they're the loudest about it.
Right.
And everybody else is real chill, so they don't, you know, like take to message boards and, you know, like create bots to destroy somebody's like Amazon rating, you know, because they don't like something somebody said.
Which is what happened with Last Jedi, is some dude created like bots to
go on Rotten Tomatoes and
to tank the
and actually the
user.
Bot is I was reading that's, it the bot like got out of control a little bit, and so it's writing negative Last Jedi reviews on like The Shape of Water and stuff.
Oh no, are we living in Terminator times?
Yeah.
Also, fuck that bot. The Shape of Water is great.
Very excited to see that.
It's very good.
All right, well,
did we talk about the Empire Strikes Back?
I don't really know.
I mean, like, what do you have to say? It's a masterpiece.
It's really good. It's dark, you know, and it's just like they made such a hopeful, new hopeful movie, and it's just like we're coming back. Oh shit, it's all bad, and it doesn't get resolved. Like, there's no resolve to things being bad in the movie necessarily, except for them getting away, I guess.
Yeah, like end. You. Yeah, it's kind of
you
like,
leave at a place like, oh,
it's like,
and that's cool.
It's like the Fellowship of the Ring, the movie.
Yeah,
you know, like if you weren't.
Oh yeah,
you know, like I remember being in theaters for Fellowship of the Ring and people just being like, wait, what? And so can you imagine
Fellowship
because remember they're like the Fellowship is like broken
because Boromir dies and then they're like, whoa,
and it's like that's the end of the movie. And again, you know, we've lived with Empire basically our I think for all of us our entire lives, and just can you imagine getting to the end of that movie and just
be like, wait, what? All my friends are hurt.
Yeah.
It's, everything's fucked up.
It's really cool, and it's really cool that it works.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, for
I
sure.
think pretty much every part of this movie, I think it all kind of hangs together really well.
Can we talk? We haven't mentioned Lando Calrissian yet.
Sure.
What a fucking cool character that is.
Great.
I love, like, just as far as like, everyone else that we meet, all the other heroes are... You know, they wield lightsabers and blasters and like they're all about rebellion and violence. And then we meet a guy who is ostensibly a hero. He has a little bit of a heel turn, but like comes around.
Yeah.
Who never fires a shot, is generally a pacifist. Right. And like is still like getting shit done in this universe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's I don't know. I love Lando and I love the implied history between he and Han that like they both have been like scamming people for years. And like the Millennium Falcon, which is like Han Solo's superpower, used to belong to him.
It's really cool. It's great.
I think it's one of the reasons why Star Wars as a universe, when it's working, works so well.
Yeah.
Is that it introduces these characters and it gives you just enough. To
just
like
enough,
let you know if there's a shared history and you want to know more, but it doesn't burden the movies down with being like, and here's how, you know, like Lando got where he is.
Right. He enslaved pig people to do all his work on the Cloud City.
Okay, he is the look. I guess there are little. They're not like the pig people I was thinking of. The Gamorrean guards
not the Gamorrean palace.
But yeah, there are
place.
Those like, little. No, it is not Jabba's place. what's your favorite creature in The Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, the Wampa.
Wampa.
If we're not counting Yoda.
Wampa, there's Tauntaun is great.
Oh, Tauntaun.
I like the worm in the giant worm that they go into.
Giant worm is really cool.
It's pretty great.
I like the Minox.
Oh, inside the worm.
That are inside the worm, but possibly flying around in the vacuum of space. What are these things?
I don't know.
And they like suck electricity. Like that's their that's
what a
they
crazy creature.
Live off of.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Wampa is probably the coolest. As a kid, I loved it.
And, you just,
and then
like,
it got replaced with a Rancor in Jedi, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As, like, favorite creature.
So there is a droid in Cloud City, the droid that greets C-3PO. He looks like a totally white version of him. And C-3PO is like, oh, it's so nice to see a familiar face. And the droid says to him, Ichuta. And I always assume that translates to eat shit.
Yeah.
Is that track for you guys?
But you don't know what it means?
I don't know what it
means. Great. I'm gonna think it means eat shit. I think it sounds great.
Because,
I eat shit.
Because 3PO's like, how rude.
Well,
oh, he does say that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be a different language, but in Phantom Menace, when Sebulba, like his cart, his pod racer,
Sebulba.
His pod like crashes, you know, he's like skipping along, then he like stops and he goes, what does he say?
Oh, yeah. Poodoo.
I always assumed that was shit as well. But again, different language. Like, Protocol Droid knows tons of different languages.
Is Sebulba speaking Huttese? This is a conversation I was having the other day.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because Watto.
What's Huttese?
Oh, so that's the language of the Hutts, the gangsters
who rule
Tatooine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Watto speaks Huttese for sure. But does Sebulba speak the same language, or is he speaking like his species native language?
I have no idea. Does everybody on Tatooine speak Huttese?
The Hutts created the language on Tatooine, you think?
They claimed it as their own. Yeah. They didn't create it. They saw a language they liked and they were like, this is the Hutt language.
Anyway, that's Empire Strikes Back. All right.
Suck it, nerds.
Eat shit.
Ichuta.
Ichuta. All right. So now we're about to do the improv, which you guys will hear in Thursday. So tune in for that, and we'll see you then. Thank you. Bye.
This is Patrick.
And this is Mark, co-host of Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're your home for all things Nintendo.
On Tuesday, we're talking about the latest Nintendo news.
And on Thursday, we're doing deep dives into specific corners of the Nintendo universe.
Ranking the Koopa Kids.
Determining who the best Smash Fighter is.
That's Nintendo Cartridge Society on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.